Hello and welcome to another Review and Roast Presents. I'm your host, Scott, and you can find me on Twitter at xorsonx, and I'm here with Mike. You can find on Twitter at Review and Roast. You can find all of our stuff at reviewandroast.com or at facebook.com/reviewandroast. We also have Instagram /reviewandroast, and we also have instagram.com/StarWarsTabletop, which is our newest Instagram featuring a lot of the Star Wars tabletop board games that we're into. And today, speaking of board games, we are sitting down with Phil Vestal, who is the co-creator of Wanted Earth, which you can find on Kickstarter right now. There's about 2 weeks left, and they're just about hitting their goals. They have some amazing stretch deals and all that good stuff, so make sure you check it out before it's over to get in on the good stuff. But yeah, we're going to be talking to Phil today about Wanted Earth, so let's dive right in. All right, so why don't we just start out? You can just talk about, you know, introduce yourself, introduce the game, talk about how you got the idea and all that good stuff. So
absolutely. So I am Phil Vestal, and I am one of the creators of Wanted Earth, along with Eddie Zakor, who actually originally came up with the universe that Wanted Earth is set in and the original idea for the game, and then kind of brought me in, and we went through the development from there. And Wanted Earth is a miniature strategy game for 1 to 7 players. So you can solo it, you can co-op it, you can PvP it, you can get along with your friends, or you can stab them in the back, you know, kind of however you want. Basically, aliens have invaded Earth, and heroes have risen up to defend it. So you can play as the heroes or as the aliens. Ultimately, as the heroes, you are trying to stop the aliens by destroying the Overlord. Or in the solo mode, which I don't think we had fleshed out when we played with you guys, you're trying to solve enigmas and then destroy the portal. And so the aliens are like AI'd in that version, and then you're ultimately killing the portal rather than the Overlord. And the
I think you were just talking about that. We were talking about it when we first originally sat down and actually played it with the bunch of us.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. It was one of those things where it wasn't in the original concept, but was kind of added later as a lot of people made the comment that they'd love to have a solo version and then co-op today. You know, even just walking around Gen Con a couple weeks ago, outside of the, you know, pandemic, Forbidden Desert, Forbidden Island, you know, there's a couple others. There's not that many, like, really awesome co-op games that can also be PvP'd, so you can kind of choose. And so our game naturally lent itself to becoming solo co-op, and so we went from there. And so, yeah, I mean, basic you know, combat game, fighting against each other using dice and a lot of unique abilities. So all the heroes have really unique abilities, everything from mind control to invisibility, you know, your favorite being the airstrike, or to all the way
it's
to
kind of my favorite. We'll talk about some adjustments later. Oh, yeah, the mind control. I use that a lot.
And even the aliens have their own unique abilities. So whatever side you're playing on, it isn't just straight combat. There's a lot of strategy in terms of using all these abilities of the characters. And as you go through the different rounds, because Wanted Earth is on a round system, you're gaining credits, buying more items. And then halfway through the game, the Overlord comes out, and hopefully you're prepared to defeat him at that time. And there's other little cool mechanics like enigmas that we call them. They allow you to bring in a new hero if one has died or to extend the round. Because if by 12 rounds the heroes haven't completed their objectives, they lose. And so this kind of gives you extra turns. And so it's pretty fun.
I mean, it's all right.
Yeah, I mean, right off the bat when we got together to play this, like the enigmas are what stick out to me as like it's probably one of the most unique parts of this game. Because, you know, usually when you're in a game like that, you fucking die, like, you're done. Like, you just got to watch now. You know, so yeah. Being able to bring more guys out and the game's not over 3 rounds in is fantastic. And like you said, if you're not prepared to fight that Overlord, being able to extend another round is huge. So that was, to me, that was like one of the coolest, most unique things about the game that I liked.
Yeah, and let's not forget, too, that when you bring people in later in the game, the problem is, depending on the time of the game, it's most people have already upgraded some stuff by now.
Yeah. Yep.
So you do have a trade option for some of the characters, or all of the characters, but some can do it a little better than others, but that actually helps. So if you have a character that's pretty close to going down, you can basically use an option to trade to another player. So when you bring out that next one, you can trade then to them. So it's kind of burns up your actions, but it does get you a little bit more ahead of the game when that character comes in later.
Well, absolutely. Well, it's weird how the strategy ends up working out, because there's sometimes when you want one of your heroes to die because you say, man, you know, it's getting to end game. I want Leaf here. I want Effa. I want whatever.
We've played it and we've been trying to kill guys, and then the other guy knows you're trying to kill him, and then they don't kill him no more.
Exactly.
You have one character run around one hit point for like the game.
Yep. Standing right next to the Enigma. Yeah.
Exactly. Just kill me. Well, and that's when you need Brian, because one time I had a Jocelyn, who you guys probably have played as Jocelyn. She has a lot of money, but not really good for much else. And I was playing against Eddie, the other creator, and he said, yeah, I'm just not going to kill her. And I'm like, I want her dead. But I had Brian. And so Brian's ability is that whenever he rolls a blank dice, he berserks and hits everything. So I just stuck Jocelyn next to Brian and let him berserk and sort of team kill, you know? So there's a lot of little ins and outs that you learn as you go with their abilities.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a game that you got to play to learn some new strategy type options, because we played a bunch of times, honestly, and for the most part it's pretty well received. I mean, some people are a little less into it than others, Scott and I being probably the most into it, but we're probably the better of the gamers out of all the people we know.
Well, that explains it. That so explains that's probably it. Part yeah, that's of what it is.
And if any of them listen, they're gonna be upset that I just said that, but truth hurts, so I mean, whatever.
Yeah, it's not like you don't say it every
I
time
I do
we
say it every time we say it. I mean, I'm a tactical genius. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, nice.
But anywho, the point being that the game does lend itself to a lot of different strategy options, which is actually huge. One of the things being my favorite part of the game is the 24 by 24 board and the 24-sided dice.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's – Scott and I have talked about it a lot, and I think that's just – I can't believe that that hasn't been a thing.
Yeah, right.
In all games, all the time, since the beginning of gaming.
They are so hard to get a hold of.
Yeah.
D24s. I mean, we were walking around Gen Con last year looking for D24s. Yeah. You can't find them. We had to buy them online, and we did all of our dice custom. And while our manufacturer will be able to do D24s, you know, finding someone to do a low print run, doesn't happen, man, because games don't use them. Can't get 10 of them. Yeah, it goes from D20.
Got to go buy yourself a 3D printer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's you definitely don't see it in other games, and it's fun to roll. They roll well too. They're
surprisingly better than you think, because you think they just roll like a couple of super balls, but they actually do stop even on like the cardboard board. I mean, sometimes you might get a little extra roll, then you're like, damn it. But for the most part, they actually roll really better than you would think for being 24.
And they like you. Weren't you the first one to...
That guy was right there.
Scott. All right. Scott was a big dog. So Scott, so one of the character's abilities when you play as the Goigons, his name is Wata, and the two D24s are rolled for his solar strike, and it shoots the solar beam down the row in the column, and if there's a hero at the intersection, they die. And we had been playtesting for a while, and I mean, this is a 1 in 400 and something probability that this hits, and man, right in the middle,
we were
Scott
just talking
rolls
about
it
that.
And just kills a hero. And we've had it happen now more frequently since, but it was one of those enigmas, if you will, that hadn't happened yet, and you nailed it.
Well, it was funny because I was the first, and I believe Eddie did it the next game. Yeah, or was it you? It was
no,
you
I was, think it was Eddie, yeah. So
that was pretty interesting. It didn't happen until that day, and then I got the ball rolling.
And that's
we haven't duplicated it since.
Right.
But, I mean, you guys have.
So. That's a huge thing in that game, because if that actually does happen, the heroes are pretty screwed.
It hurts. Yeah,
it's hard to kill them.
Yeah, because, well, and that's the whole thing. It's like once... Well, see, that's a good strategy, though. See, we've had a little balance arguments throughout the groups.
Of course.
Of it is kind of hard to kill heroes, but like I was saying earlier, killing heroes early is great, but killing them later is honestly even better, because once you knock a guy out that's got all this dope shit, like, that hurts bad.
Yeah,
you know, like, absolutely. I spend all my time getting sass beefed up with, like, the best sniper and long-range shit, and I'm badass. And then he just, like, lines up, you know, a group of them, and, you know, three times in a row, and that's it. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things where it's it can go both ways, I guess. You know, so if you lose a character right after the big dog comes out, what's his name, the final boss?
Moba Bobatar.
Yeah.
Let's say that three times.
Can't believe I couldn't remember that.
Hey, he's an alien, you know? He's got a weird name. Yeah.
Rolls off, though.
We have baby Bobatar now, too.
Really?
Yeah, he's a stretch goal underlord.
Oh, I like it. Yeah. See, that's what we need. We need more. I mean, not that you need more anyways. I actually think the gameplay is pretty
well. You figure it's been about 6 months almost since we've talked to you guys, really.
It is, so yeah. It's been a while.
There's a lot of changes that we need to hear about.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. and one of the things with the balancing is we've discovered that often the first time you play as the heroes generally lose, unless you're playing someone as the heroes who knows Minnie's games pretty well, because those special abilities are really what mm-hmm. you have to get a hold of. But what's fun is if you're finding, hey, man, I've got a really legit hero comp that I think I can win, then you know what you do to counter it? Throw out more aliens each round. So instead of doing the 4-5, try 5-5 or 6-6, you know, and it starts to sort of make it even more mm-hmm. difficult for the heroes. And so you can kind of adjust it. And now we have a modular board we're including as well. So you can set up scenarios and
yeah, that's what I'm kind of, I think that's an awesome idea too.
Yeah, because that definitely changes, because the set map is really cool. We've enjoyed it, but obviously you get to know your strategies on that mm-hmm. map. You know, okay, I'm going to put my portal here because I know what I'm going to do. Well, man, mix up the map.
You guys were talking about having something a little more module. Before. Yep. Yeah. How are you going to do it exactly then?
Yeah, so what it is it's printed on the backside. So the board is going to come two-sided print, and then we'll have like 2D punch-out buildings.
Ah,
so
it'll
come with... That's actually... And then you can kind of... So it'll look just like the other board. I mean, not the layout, but it'll look...
But it'll be 24 by 24
exactly,
square.
Exactly. Everything the same, and then you just arrange, you know, we're going to have a full sheet of buildings. Some of them just a 1x1 square. Some of them some of them just long.
Yeah,
you know,
that's cool.
Almost like Tetris. You know, you kind of fit mm-hmm. them together however you want, and you can really kind of mess with the different scenarios that
way. I like that.
Which makes it a lot of fun.
I was wondering, too, I wonder if you could sort of, I don't know, is that something you can build strategies and stories alongside? You know what I mean? Like for, I guess that would be more of like a campaign type deal. You know what I mean? You know how like you do with like Imperial Assault or something that where you sort of, and then you put the maps together different. You know,
yeah,
I mean?
Absolutely.
Well, not different, but I guess different.
Well, it's like maybe they're attacking a different city, and mm-hmm. you set up different scenarios. I mean, I could see in solo play, you know, usually you randomize where the portal is in solo play, but I could see you setting it up in a solo campaign where you like beef up where the portal's at with buildings and other things that make it hard to get
impossible
in there.
To,
exactly. Yeah. And you kind of challenge yourself with where you put the portal, because ultimately you got to destroy it. And mm-hmm. if there's units constantly coming out and you put it like surrounded by buildings with only one entrance, or, you know, it's like, you can do a lot of different kind of things.
Yeah, that would be
when you can set it up how you want.
Okay, so at the beginning of this, you mentioned that Eddie is the one that came up with the universe that this is all set in. So when you say universe, does that mean expansions, other games?
What are Absolutely, and I wish I could have brought them here today. Eddie actually got sick, which is why he's not here today. But we already have the Visitoth expansion ready, which is much more of a pirate faction. So they've got a pirate ship as their portal, and it can move around the board, and it can be destroyed.
Dope.
And so one of the characters is a navigator. So wherever the navigator is, the ship moves after the navigator. Mm-hmm. And so... that totally changes the strategy, because it can be your underlord, so it has an attack and a defense, which means that that thing's moving around the board, your units are coming out, it's attacking, but it can be destroyed as well. And so one of the items we want to include is a Gatling gun, and so once you set it down, your character can't move anymore that turn, but you can just try and blast away at the ship, you know. And so rather than where the Goigons are much more attack heavy, they're looking just to destroy our planet. I mean, that's their story, is they go around the universe, they're just taking over suns, they're sapping the energy, whereas the Visitoths are pirate-like, and so they're coming to steal your stuff. And so rather than being as strong attack-wise, they can take coins from heroes, they can steal items,
they can
do that kind of stuff. And so that totally changes the game, and I mean, they're
ready
to go.
By that's cool, I mean that sucks.
Yeah, and
exactly. Yeah, misspoke. But.
And because the ship moves, no sniping from across the board.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah, it makes it a lot of fun. It's definitely a very different thing, and we would have loved to bring it out in this first release, but obviously it makes your funding goal, you know, go back through the roof, and that is a first-time company, that's kind of hard. But as soon as we can get to it, we want to get those out. And even on this first release, we have two of the comics coming for Pink and Leafy, so you get to little bit more of their storyline. Mm-hmm. And so Eddie really has created a whole universe of story around the factions, around each of the heroes. And then, I mean, our dream would be that this thing goes for a while, mm-hmm. and we can really expand that story to show that, you know, we're in the Goigon attack, you're seeing just Act One, which is a tiny, tiny little part of what's actually going on in the universe between all these factions. And Earth is now almost just coming to know that all this stuff is going on out there. and we'll kind of explore that more. I mean, there's factions like Nidoqua. I don't know if you guys had Nidoqua. He's one of the stretch goal heroes who can teleport and solve enigmas for free.
I think you were stun. Just had him. I think you might have had him, but we didn't take him with the prototype.
Yeah, so he's from a faction called Quijinqua, and they'll be one of the ones we'll release in the future as well, and they can abduct characters off the board. They can do all kinds of really cool stuff, and so there's a lot of potential to run with, for sure.
And that leads me to like one of the main things about this game, which, again, I guess it might be personal preference, but for me, it's huge. Is that nobody's the same.
Yep.
You know, we play a lot of games, and we've talked about this a lot, and this being a game that we bring up all the time, or at least I do, I know for sure, that whenever you're playing a game, I mean, pick a game, who cares, and you can be different characters, most of the time, the character's just a different color.
Yep.
Like, that's all. It's like, oh yeah, this is the awesome guy, and he's like an elf and stuff. What's he do? Same shit as the other guy.
Or maybe, you know, they're ranged instead of melee or something.
Dude, not even that different. You know what I mean? So, yeah, like, yeah. These ones, the heroes in this game are not even, I mean, most of them aren't even a little the same.
Right.
Maybe because this guy uses a gun, too. But, like, other than that, I mean, they all have 100% their own unique ability.
Yep.
Whether you like it or not. They all use a range of weapons or are able to use more than one. Anyways, some are obviously stronger with some than others. But again, all of that being said, that's what makes this a huge, awesome game for me, because it gives you so much. Like, you were talking about comp. Like, how many times you talk about hero team comp in a in a game like this? You know what I mean? That's for epic campaign shit. This is just a game you play in 45 minutes, and you get to do all of that in that amount of time. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, and that's one thing that Eddie noticed from the beginning when he started creating the world, was that, you know, he comes from MMORPGs, and so playing these online games where there is that unique stuff, and then coming into the board game world and saying, man, whatever hero I choose, it's just because I like the picture.
Yeah, right.
And they
yeah.
play the same as the other.
We just because my favorite color is blue.
Yeah, we need something you know where I mean? These guys are totally unique from one another. Yeah. And so, there's endless possibilities to the unique abilities and such. And yeah, it does change each game, and it changes how the faction acts as well. Because if you have Effa, you know, the Goigons probably aren't bringing out as many Riltongue, for example, right. because the Riltongue has the AOE damage, and, you know, so it really, and then when Effa dies, then all of a sudden you bring out the Riltongue, yeah. but then you counter it with a different hero's ability. And so that is definitely something that we.
And the upgrade cards all have their own also unique adds. To each character. Some are obviously much more valuable to some characters than others. I mean, so that, and some are even not even able to be equipped on some others.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Exactly. So that's actually another cool little thing. It's just, it's one of those games, again, that you play. It's like, shit, I wish this game was like 3 hours long, but I'm also glad it's over so we can play it again. So it's yeah. one of those things, because there's some games you play for 3 hours and you're like, just lost.
That's how I feel playing Overwatch with him.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? But this yeah. game, you're like, you're getting into that last round or two or three, and you're like, shit. You know what I mean? You're either like buried, or you're so close, or you're stomping. And it's like, you want to keep doing whatever you're doing. If yeah. you're buried, you want to just keep trying to claw your way out. And you're like, man, mm-hmm. if I had two more rounds, I'd whoop that ass. If it's a close game, you want it to end whenever you can make it end. And if you're stomping, you just want to keep stomping everybody's face, because that actually
that's just
is
fun.
Pretty fun.
Yeah. yeah. No, for sure. Well, that was one of our hopes, is to make it more Catan-like, make it more Ticket to Ride in terms of time.
Yeah.
Because a lot of minis games, we love them. We're mini gamers. We love playing a 4 or 5 hour game. But all of a sudden, we both have two kids.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, telling our wives, hey, we're going to go play a 5 hour minis yeah. game. They're a little bit like, you know, you're sleeping on the couch tonight, yeah. you know, they're going to be, you know, so I was like, and they love games too, but it was one of those things where it's like, yeah, how can we sort of unniche that yeah. game and make it available to someone
and
to
play multiple
times? And
the setup really isn't that difficult. I mean, you just, small deck
roll
of cards,
a couple of dice, this is where the guys go, let's
yeah.
do this.
Exactly.
It really isn't that difficult at all. It's not like setting up a Defenders of the Realm or even that Nirath that we play, that's another 30-minute setup. I mean, there's a handful. Even Mage Knight takes a minute just to get yeah. everything yeah. set up.
Well, the worst part about Defenders is you set it up for 25 minutes, and then you lose in five.
Yeah. God damn. It's even worse when you lose in 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know what I
but
mean?
At least you played.
Yeah, at least you got
yeah, some, yeah, that's yeah. true. Yeah. That's true. No, so that was definitely something that we worked very hard to sort of pare down. Now, obviously, if you play the 7-player version, it is going to take, you know.
Oh, yeah,
but then
for
it just,
sure.
But then it's not as much the game as much as people are debating and arguing what to do and, you know, every little strategic move.
I never
but,
do that. Yeah. I do that a lot.
It's the fucking worst.
We were playing that game Flatline the other day. It's like a dice game.
Yeah.
Well, me and this
I'm
guy.
I'm pretty sure me and Scott got divorced that night.
We are constantly, like, if you didn't know us, you would think we pretty much hate each other.
Yeah.
When we are playing anything, because
anything doesn't even matter.
It gets
doesn't even matter.
It gets out of hand.
Yeah.
So, you know, for like this guy Jeff, who just he's been only been gaming with us for a few months, it still is uncomfortable for him when we start screaming, and everyone else has just kind of tuned it out. But like,
yeah,
it's gets serious.
We've been known to get into it.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing like. I mean. Whatever, just rack happens. Them up right after
right,
we're done.
Sure,
you know what I mean? But yeah, we get a
because we know we're just fucking. You know,
it is just a game. But I didn't sit down to lose either. So yeah, it's just a game,
of course.
But I mean, I'm not coming in second,
right?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Isn't there a saying about how if you're still friends after the game, you didn't play?
You
didn't play it right or something like this? You know, but and that's Eddie. And every game we play, he tries to kill me. And what's sad about that is. 3/4 of the time we're on the same team. And so his, you know, we'll go to a protospiel event, right? Where you're with other designers and you're trying each other's
game. Hey, watch when I do this.
Yeah, yeah. His first question is, have you guys built in a way to team kill? like wow. Whatever the other rules are, how can I kill my own team, you know? So it always makes it kind of fun.
That's weird. But I mean, in a good way.
Yeah, yeah.
That was one of the options in this with the PvP and having the aliens. I remember we played that.
Yes.
We played that like once or twice. And I know that wasn't for everybody either. See, but Scott and I don't mind. Well, we're a little different when it comes to those games, I think, than most of the people we play with because we're sort of more, I don't even know what you want to call it, more into it, I guess.
I don't mind dying.
Yeah.
I just want it to be creative, not cheap.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, that's, yeah, I mean, that's why, depending on the night, you guys can co-op it together, you can mm-hmm. fight alien and hero, or you can fight hero against hero, so it's...
Yeah, you can straight up just really, do that.
Really. Well, and then when the Visitots come out and other expansions, we're working out the faction versus faction.
That's
so
cool.
You can battle over Earth or whatever as two factions.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I would be into that, too.
We're just working out the balancing
of
that.
No, heroes, just all the...
Yep, just all the aliens. And so that's those rules are the ones where, you know, because the Visitots aren't coming out yet, we've got time to sort of fine-tune that mm-hmm. just to make sure because they have such different styles. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do you make sure one isn't just so much, you know.
Just isn't moshing the other.
Exactly, exactly. So working that out, but it's going to be a really
It's almost as simple as just spawn, like how many you can spawn.
I mean,
if they're just overpowered, you just spawn less of them or whatever.
Yeah. So it'll
like you were saying, even with the regular game, you just if you
yeah, it's
think,
super simple. I don't know what you guys.
Well, no, if you think
the, yeah.
If you think it's too easy to beat the aliens, bring an extra one out every round.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
Exactly.
You know what
I mean? Or if you're playing with someone the first time and there's you know, if you're afraid they're going to get wiped, bring out less aliens. You know,
I want more because I want more money.
Yeah. Well, that's what we do when Eddie
you know
and
I mean?
Play. We like to play. The normal rules are four credits worth of units at the portal and 5 randomly on the board. Mm-hmm. And we like to jump to 6-6. And I mean, we lose most of the time, but when you pull out that victory, because you're just so bombarded. I mean, you can't make a mistake, but we have won it. And you feel this tremendous sense of accomplishment.
I feel like I'd probably win that pretty easily.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. It's a, it's
only
a
if, only if Scott's the aliens though.
I'm notoriously the worst dice roller you've
ever seen.
So
except for his one solar flare kill that was
right
it.
Before you showed up, we were playing this Destiny. Literally for the first 3 rounds I rolled nothing but nothing.
Yeah, that hurts.
Like and each die has one nothing side.
Yeah.
I hit it 3 times.
You know what Eddie and I had to do to balance Wanted Earth before going to like public playtesting is we had to play through games and use the mathematical probabilities instead of actual dice rolls because he was rolling so much better than me every time. You know, like for those of you who don't know the game, orange is the weakest dice and then green and then purple. I mean, purple should just crush orange every time. You know, I'd be rolling 2 purples and he'd be rolling an orange and he's beating me. And it's like, you know, the probability doesn't work out for this to happen over and over. And so we had to start just saying, okay, if you're going to attack me twice, it's 50-50. I'll take one damage. You know,
yeah, right.
So we start working out the probabilities that way because it's like robots, you know, and then play test with people. But yeah, he's good dice roller.
Yeah. And I actually like the dice too, in the fact that they're all actually the same for defense and attack, which is actually different. Most of the time it's a little different, which for this makes it easier, in my opinion, to manage. You know what I mean? So yep. It's just like, have some dice. We're all going to use the same ones at yeah. some point in time. So it's actually nifty when we're playing, what was like Imperial Assault? It's all six-sided dice, but there's 14 different kinds. Like, yeah. Jesus Christ, yeah. I don't even know what I'm rolling right now.
Right.
And I only get one of these ones. There's 12 other dice on the table, and I get this piece of crap white one.
Well, that's what we want to, you know, we don't want you to have to carry around three boxes of stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you have all the expansions and all that, but it's like, you know, if you're just going to play the game, we want it to be one of those things where, like we've talked about, it has an immense amount of strategy. But at the same time, I mean, we've had some girls who aren't real big gamers, who are just friends, who have said, yeah, let me try. And in 20 minutes, they picked it up and we're going. Because it's like, you yeah. just look on the card, it tells you what to
it's
roll.
Really, it's really not that difficult.
Right.
Like, for being in, let's call it an immense universe with lots of options, they're spelled out fairly decently. There's a couple of tricky ones, if you want to call it that, like taking control of the aliens.
Right,
or,
sure.
Who is it, Pink, that drags them in?
Yep.
Like, that one gets a little weird. Like, when do I use that? Like, I feel like you need to be experienced in...
Yeah, in the movement.
Movement placement games or something of the like to really get him down. But for the most part, most of the characters are just... their ability is their ability. If you know anything about anything, just point and shoot.
Yeah, you know, get going. Yep, absolutely.
To get yourself going. And again, as long as the alien faction or whoever isn't out for blood against new people, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
well, that's what I mean. Gimpo,
you know, if we were playing with a couple of people that are brand new, you also don't have to go for the jugular right away. Like,
right.
Let them get in there and yeah. take out a couple guys. I mean, I would.
It depends on who it is. Yeah.
Sometimes you just need an easy win.
Sometimes they need to be humbled, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Like this guy.
Yeah.
There's no such thing with this guy.
If anybody could, they would have by now.
Oh.
You know what
I
mean?
We should play after this.
Jesus. You don't want none of this. Scott don't want none of it either. Like, that's why he ain't saying shit. It's like, nah, don't play him.
I hear the shit all the time.
It doesn't even faze you anymore. No. That's awesome.
Hey, somebody's got to be awesome.
There's no fucking off switch with this
no,
guy.
No response.
Yeah. No. What are you going to do?
We'll just move on from there.
No matter, every time you beat him, he just gets mad and then fucking...
Yeah, but because it happens so infrequently that it's just, it's odd for me. I don't know the sensation. Anyway, so the game's all right.
To sum up.
Yeah, so in conclusion, this game's okay. I mean, it's all right.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the Kickstarter anyways then.
Yeah.
Since, is there any other we're trying to pop this out before that.
That right? we don't know about? Because we figure, okay, you're adding all these alien factions in the future. I thought you said, like, with the new Kickstarter, there's a couple of new characters that we'd never heard
Indeed.
Of.
So one of them is called Dead Squirrel. And so he is he is a vigilante. He looks pretty awesome. And his unique ability is he can take his movement and actions anytime, including on the faction turn. So what you do with him is... Yeah, exactly. You kind of place him in a spot and say, yeah, you want to come within range of my units? Yeah. You know, I'll attack you when you come to me. And so
that's actually a pretty good idea.
Yeah, yeah. So self-proclaimed vigilante. He starts with some pretty good attack defense. And his unique ability is a lot of fun. And he's got really good movement. And so he's an add-on that currently is on the campaign. And then Nidoqua, like I mentioned, who is an alien who's from the Quijinqua faction, who is coming to help out the humans, and he can teleport around the board. He can solve enigmas for free. He can stun units, but he cannot attack. So he's a pure utility player, but a lot of fun because there's some fun ways to use him. So, for example,
he'd be good in PvP.
Yeah, so just but you can't disruption. Stun heroes, but you can stun
not
the
PvP?
Yeah, right. No. But
I'll do whatever
what
I want.
Yeah, just what yeah. but for the enigmas it's awesome because he does them for free, so you can literally jump around the board at any time bringing a new hero. But he's also great for transporting items because he can still hold the items. So what we've seen people do is
load them up.
Exactly. So you've got like Leafy running around the board, for example, and Effa's in the corner using mind control. Well, man, now you got to run him all the way over there to get those credits. No, man, you give him to Nidoqua, he jumps, buys, trades. So there's a lot of fun utility options with him.
Yeah, that's like a whole utility team.
How many times can he jump per turn?
So he has four actions, and every teleport is one. A stun is two. So, and then, of course, if you're trading, that's an action and whatnot.
Yeah, but he can trade twice and jump twice.
And he still has his own movement. And so, yeah, so there's a lot of really fun things. Again, he's one of those characters where if you start with a team that doesn't have much attack, you're going to be in trouble because, unless you know, so it's one of those things, again, where you have to match
him. Yeah, but you have Effa.
Exactly. So you could go all alien team, Leafy, yeah. Effa, and Nidoqua, which is kind of fun. So he's a stretch goal currently. And then if we don't reach some of the stretch goals, then we want to release these characters either in the next faction or the next, next Kickstarter, next release, mm-hmm. whatever it might be. But Saris is currently a stretch goal. And then I think the other stretch goals you guys know about being Brian, Jocelyn, those guys. So
yeah which ones do we have aren't part of the base game?
Yeah, so the base game is Sass and Frass, Leafy, Effa, Gavin, Tiago, and Pink. So those seven. So Saris, Jocelyn, So Jocelyn is a stretch goal at the moment. And again, if we don't reach her, we'll bring him out somehow in the future. So keep expanding. But no, man, we've got a lot of other heroes planned. I mean, some pretty cool, unique guys and
yeah,
gals.
And then I mean, you can almost even make more. I wonder if you could do that. I mean, you could actually create your own, kind of like how we were talking about making scenarios before. I mean, you really could make a scenario book down the road and arrange, have them.
You could just do it like Ticket to Ride. Instead of putting out an entire game, here's a new map. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
$20, here's a new board.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Two-sided, I mean, we'd love to do
that. Another two-sided board that you can, that this one has a river down the middle, and now you can put shit.
Yeah, well, we'd love to do like 3D buildings at some point, too, you know? Yeah. And, you know, like we want to do like a Punch-Out Lake and, you know, different things mm-hmm. that people can do. Certainly. And I think one of the things,
you can't cross it, but you can shoot over it or whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things we're going to work on for by the time the game actually comes out is put on solo campaign scenarios on the website.
That'd be cool.
So maybe you're four rounds in, you've got these characters with these weapons, here's the alien situation, and see if you can work your way out of it. Mm-hmm. Or if you're the alien, see if you can stop the heroes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Like, call it five rounds in.
Yep.
He said four.
Call it four rounds in. Yeah.
Five, that's just over the top.
You have Jess and the armor, and this gun, and you have Brian, this armor, and
exactly.
And here's all the aliens.
Yep, and just see if you can,
20% of the people have passed this
thing. Yeah, exactly. So you put it in a situation where it's hard to get out
of.
Maybe
in one of them.
And,
Yeah, no, that's actually fun. Then that would give you guys something to do. And the cool thing would be...
Yeah, we don't have anything else,
right.
So...
Yeah.
Well,
at least give us something to do.
Jobs.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. You gotta step your game up.
I know, yeah.
You gotta step your game up. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you don't need sleep. But, I was reading something today about Navy SEALs teaching how to overcome sleep deprivation. So I could just read that.
Yeah, it's called
and,
take a nap.
Yeah, just don't. No, just don't even sleep. I'm just the Wanted Earth Scenarios guy. That's just all I'm going
to
do from now.
But the cool thing would be, though, if you could manage to get it online or an app or something like that, you'd be able to keep yourself always current.
Yep.
You know what I mean? There's always something to like, let's just look this shit up real quick. What's
absolutely.
Next?
Absolutely. I mean, if we can get funded now and get some of this other stuff out, I mean, we've got plans galore of stuff to continue building the universe and continue getting it out there. So absolutely
cool.
Yeah, and so we're on Kickstarter right now, so we've got 15 days left. We end on the 19th, and so we are $49,000 funding goal, and we're just about to 41,000, and so we're just over 8k short, and we're just over halfway. So we feel pretty good that we can reach it, and we're really hoping to hit some stretch goals. Mm-hmm. The basic pledge being 69 plus shipping. So for a minis game, we thought, hey, pretty reasonable.
For a minis game, that's actually really good.
Yeah,
to be honest.
That was kind of our hope. So absolutely.
And some of the other options we were looking on Kickstarter are actually quite, I don't know if I want to call it economical or a great deal, but there's a lot of extra options that you're giving away for the next step up, which is $100, $110.
Yeah, so for $110, you get all the add-ons, being the Dead Squirrel, miniature and board, mm-hmm. and then the neoprene, that mouse pad material play mat, which
that's
has
actually
another map on it. And then two comics with a promo card. And so the Leafy comic, the Pink comic, and mm-hmm. the promo card. And so if you get all of it together, you get a discount. And so we made it a new level.
All right, I have a scenario for you.
Yes.
So here's what you need to do. I think you need to make a new add-on card, which would be like an upgrade ability for Sass that would give her an additional die when rolling airstrike.
Yeah, you know what's funny?
And it costs money to get it, so it's not free.
Yeah.
It's, what ifs.
Yeah. No, you know what? Well, so two things about that.
And
one,
I'm not asking.
Yeah, yeah. No, one.
Make the
card. We actually. So Sass's airstrike right now is currently 3 orange. And Yippee. we had our artists make a three green one just for you. So when the game comes out, we are giving you, you'll be the only person in the world with a three green SAS card.
Yeah, I will lose that card right away.
Dude, no one will even play with me.
Just call me for another one. I can print more for you.
That would be...
I've already got all their grappling hooks.
Yeah.
No, but it's actually funny because a reviewer knocked us down a little bit for SAS being too strong.
And really? So, yeah. That wasn't me. In my review of this game, I knocked you down for SAS being too weak sauce. Weak.
I know, exactly.
I mean, she's not weak. She's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, it's one of those characters that if you play that airstrike costs every one of her actions.
Exactly.
So it's not like, and you're rolling three orange, so you really need to like roll three good orange die.
Because
you've played this game. Scott's played this game. I've played this game.
I played a little.
It's simple to roll three blank orange dice.
It is super simple because each like orange is 50% blank. Super simple.
Yeah. So
yeah,
it's easy. I've done it. Scott's done it. You've done it. I've probably done it more
I've
than
also
anybody.
Rolled like fives with it, though. And then it's just
yeah, no, I mean, for sure you can roll some good stuff. But, man, the odds of blanking out are just superb. It especially, is. And the problem is when you're early on and you're trying to... You could have did a lot of things with that three actions, not burn them up on nothing.
Yeah,
you're trying to get money in the beginning. You know what I mean?
Like, actually, you know what? Now that I'm thinking,
I've whipped.
I do have one suggestion.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, when you're lining up the Wuds for the kill for the made big dog shot,
do more than one damage.
Do more than one damage if say it's more than six Wuds.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Because you're lining up 10, you're wasting
like, 10. Super powerful.
That's,
you know what I mean?
That's like, that's his biggest gripe because I smash his Wuds all the time.
Well, the problem is like,
but if he lines them all up. You get
four Wuds.
Well, the way I look at it, like if I only need to roll a two to do a damage, but I end up rolling like a seven.
Yeah.
That should be more than one.
Maybe like a bonus over a certain
sometimes
amount.
Because
sometimes
the
Wuds, it's hard to...
Because they are hard to get lined up.
Well, you get them all lined up to do that damage, and it's like, man, one.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at it, and you're like, this is going to be fucking epic.
And the problem is they get smashed roll, like, in the hundreds. Next turn.
I can't help that you roll badly.
Well, no. What he's saying is...
Don't make the orange 50% blank.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine changing the dice?
Changing them to more blanks.
No, but that's an awesome suggestion because, obviously getting the Wuds lined up is...
Well, once you get them lined up,
I'll
almost say that's the easy part. The easy part is keeping them lined up after because once he lines them up, if I'm the heroes, I smash that line up.
You're mowing them down.
You have to. Yeah. Like, You gotta grab a real tongue and bring it over there and whoop ass.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah. We'll think about that one.
So it's hard to
just
that.
Just a possibility.
Just one bonus damage. If
depending on how many there are.
On how many you roll. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, not all the time. But
I would say if you double the defense, do one extra damage.
Yeah, it adds to the uniqueness.
So if I roll three defense and you roll six attack, you get double. You get two damage. Double the defense.
That's cool. Yeah.
Double the defense for one addition.
I'll talk
just,
to Eddie
about
something
for us poor. You said you're not the greatest dice roller half the time.
No, I'm not.
So, I mean,
sometimes you get a good roll. You want to get some credit. You want to get some bonus loot for that.
Yeah. If there was a, the problem with it is it's not just low rolling. Like if I were to go to the casino and they were to say you need to roll all blanks.
Yeah.
Then I'd roll a 30, now you're rolling a 35 or something. You know what I mean? It'd be super, super huge. Yeah. It's just whatever I need, I don't get.
You just got to have, you can't think too much like this guy.
Yeah.
I think a lot, but I also win most of the time. So let's see.
So it works
those two
out.
Things probably equal each other somehow. Yeah, whatever.
Always got an answer.
Yeah.
So there a I know you had a YouTube video of this game being played and whatnot. Yeah. Is that linked through the Kickstarter? So if people go to that,
it is. Yeah. So you can either go to wantedearth.com and we've got the playthrough video, our like trailer for our Kickstarter video. We've got review videos by Undead Viking and Unfiltered Gamer and Poke Your Eyes Out Games had played, but I think because it was on their Twitch channel, I think it's like been so long that they've.
That's why we got to get a Twitch channel going.
Yeah,
we've
those
been talking
are awesome,
about it.
Man. But on the website and on the Kickstarter, you can watch all those videos, a playthrough of Eddie and I, just one-on-one, and the review playthroughs and all that jazz.
Cool.
Absolutely.
I mean, we have a review, too, but it's not a playthrough review.
No, but you've got the podcast and the written review. You can find those links there as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nifty.
Absolutely. And then you'll find this one, though.
Yeah. Well, we'll be posting this all.
We'll try and get this on our Facebook right away so that way we can get it in for the last week.
Thank you. Yeah. Well,
last 2 weeks. What do we got? 15 days left?
This will be up tomorrow.
Yeah. So, I mean, for share purposes and all
that.
Yeah,
as of
stuff.
Tomorrow, it'll end, I believe, 2 weeks from tomorrow. The campaign will end. So,
perfect.
That'll be good timing.
Well, like I said, like, like I said, we haven't done any podcasts in a while because, you know, my mom and my brother have been living here. He just moved into a new house. You know, the one kid just had, or the other guy that does one of the shows just had a kid.
Yeah.
The other guy in Seattle just, you know, I mean, we've just been crazy busy. Yeah,
life happens.
So,
hear that.
You know, so we haven't been doing a lot of stuff. But now that we're back into it, hopefully, you know, we'll be sharing the stuff every day
on
the Facebook and on the Twittens.
Love it.
I'll get my Tumblr back going.
I'll get it up on Instagram, too.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. And we'll send people your guys' way as well. I like watching your movie or looking at your movie reviews. So that's good.
Yeah, it's been a while since those two. But
you did one on Dunkirk the other day, though.
My brother did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brian did that one. So we had to watch that at Gen Con. We went to the movies one night. And
oh, yeah? Was it any good?
Yeah,
I haven't even seen it.
It's interesting. You can, like, feel the bombs and stuff.
Oh, yeah?
So, I mean, it's an interesting movie. Very sad, though. I walked away kind of depressed. So...
Go watch The Hitman's Bodyguard. You'll perk right up.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
That movie was actually amazing. Yeah, we're going to be doing the review for that. Nice. Hopefully a podcast, actually.
I'll look forward to that one.
I'd like to talk about that one. That movie is actually funny, pretty funny.
Sweet.
Funnier than it looks.
I'll look forward to it.
It's a lot of the use of the F word and the MF word. Extensive.
Well, duh.
It's Samuel Jackson. Jackson, yeah. Ah,
there you go.
Yeah, he says it more in that movie than all his other movies combined.
Wow.
That is actually, it's probably accurate. I'm pretty serious.
I mean, they actually reference in the movie how much he says it.
Yeah, oh, wow. More than once, actually. Yeah. So.
Jeez.
All right, what else do we need to go over for this right now?
Well, I'm not plugging us, so you want to plug everything out? I mean, you guys
just check out the Kickstarter. I mean, we've got a Facebook page, we've got a Twitter page, we've got social media stretch goals, so we're giving away more item cards, so you can help share the post on Facebook to get us up to that. And we're close to funding, so we just need pledging, you know, and at $69, we feel like for a minis game, you're getting a lot of customization, a lot of fun, and we'll keep expanding the universe and something we're really passionate about, and so I think you'll enjoy the game. So
and not for nothing, you can go on there and donate $1. I mean, don't be that guy, but
but it helps.
Everything helps.
Absolutely.
Not to mention,
well, especially when we're so close to our goal. It's like, you know, everything right now is going to help.
Six
push
bucks
us there.
Short, I'm going to sound like an asshole.
Yeah, yeah. If we're $6 short, I'll just put I'll raise my own pledge by $6.
Short,
yeah, yeah. I'll let you know. But yeah,
I'm throwing down for the big dog though.
I'm just saying, $69 for miniatures is super cheap.
So. Well, yeah, I'm probably going for the big one because I want two copies of the game and I want my SAS with all green airstrike die.
We will be getting you that.
That'll be
absolutely
awesome. Sweet.
No, just thank you guys so much for all the time you've given us. And I know you did a review and a podcast before and sharing the stuff and bringing me on today. I'm sorry again, Eddie couldn't be here, but thank
That's
you.
All right.
Guys.
I mean, does anyone even really like Eddie that much? I mean, he's all right.
Nah. Moment of silence.
No, I love Eddie. No, he's great. He's great.
Poor Eddie. Why do you have to get the flu?
Sick. Yeah, right. I know.
That's why we're picking on him.
He's like, fuck you. It's my universe. I like the universe.
Yeah, no, creative guy, man. The storylines have some exciting places to go.
Oh, for sure.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll have the link for the Kickstarter in this post and for some other stuff.
Awesome. I've actually put it on the Facebook in the last couple of weeks a couple times, but it's been so sporadic because we've been so hectic around here.
Yeah.
So.
Makes sense.
But cool. Now that you're in the final leg, we'll bump it.
Thank you. Yeah. And we'll be shooting your guys' stuff all over as well. So
cool.
Love you guys. Thank you so much.
Hey, anytime. This podcast is now your podcast. Anytime you want to come back, you let us know.
Appreciate it. We will do
that. Whenever you have for sure, for any type of expansions and shit, if you want to talk about it first, bring one over or something I can look at. That'd be cool.
Absolutely. We'll get you to paint it.
That's right.
Yeah, you guys got to check out his paintings.
I'm always down
minis
for painting these things. Yeah.
That'll be one of the Kickstarter scratch goals. They'll have to be hand-painted by Mike.
That actually...
You'll be painting miniatures for the next 10 years.
Not going to lie, you probably get a lot of money for those. Just saying.
Yeah, pretty good. They're really good.
I'm not that good. I'm getting better, though. That was one of... I did a lot of practice on some of those ones. Some new shit. Some, you know... Like I said, I'm not very good. I learned everything to do with that on the YouTube.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they're good.
All right. Well, unless there's anything else to plug, I guess we
call
can
call it.
We're good.
Call
it.
All right. So that's Wanted Earth. Check out the Kickstarter. And we're going to get out of here.
$69.
$69.
Check.